Hi again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Friday. And we are this hour going to be talking about Dog Wit, the co-editor and one of the contributors to Howl, a collection of the best contemporary dog wit, are joining us this hour. It is a collection of wonderful essays on lessons we learn from life with dogs, how to tell the difference between your mother and your dog. To Pooch, some of us who have dogs have thought about this. That's T-W-O, Pooch, or not to Pooch. Have you ever thought about why dogs don't do their tricks for each other? That's a good question, huh? And what would a cocktail party be like if we behaved like dogs? Just a few of the more interesting questions entertained in this collection of the best contemporary dog wit. We have two guests with us, the co-editor and the co-founder of Bark, which is the award-winning modern dog culture magazine known for its hip and literary vibe. Claudia Kozinska is with us, and she is also with Cameron Wu, co-author of the book, the New York Times bestseller, Dog is My Co-Pilot, which won a Maxwell Award for Best Dog Book of 2004. She lives in Berkeley with rescued mixed-breed dogs Nellie and Lenny, which is the model for the Howl's cover dog, a real sweet-looking dog. And they also have four cats. And she is with us. Thank you ever so much for being with us and for the book, Claudia. It's terrific.
Well, thanks so much, Kathleen. Really, thank you for having us on.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be in Milwaukee at long last, a city I've never visited and long have wanted to.
Really?
Yeah. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and I always heard that we had a lot in common with Milwaukee.
I've heard that as well. Well,
yeah.
You bring your dogs and cats, and you come visit us.
Well, hey. Look for me any day now.
Also joining us is Lori Nataro, who has a piece in here, a very humorous piece about her dog at Doggy Daycare. Lori began her career writing for Arizona State University's newspaper, The State Press. She became a columnist for the Arizona Republic and is the author of a number of books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Idiot Girls Action Adventure Club, Autobiography of a Fat Bride, I Love Everybody, and Other Atrocious Lies. We Thought You Would Be Prettier, There's a Slight Chance I Might Be Going to Hell, An Idiot's Girl's Christmas, and is almost finished with her new book, The Idiot Girl and the Flaming Tantrum of Death. She lives in Eugene, Oregon, with her husband and her little dog, Maybe, and Maybe evidently hides meat in the couch cushions, refuses to run away, and is the biggest serial flirter at the dog school. Hi, Lori. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having me.
isn't it something that people can be, you know, you included here, so literary, so witty about dogs, Claudia? I mean, these are essays that have literary merit, right?
Well, we hope so. You know, after all, we are the dog culture magazine, right? Of course they do. And I'm so glad you had Lori on because she has one of my favorite pieces in the book.
Oh, thank you, Claudia.
And this is the first time I've actually met Lori as well. So
oh, really?
Hi, Lori.
Oh, great.
Yes.
So you asked, there are some 70 essays here.
Right.
You just asked people to comment on what? How did you gather them, Claudia?
Well, again, we threw out the word to people that we long admired for their work and spread the word through them that we actually wanted to do a collection of dog wit, unlike our first book, which even though there were humorous pieces, there were also very soulful, heartfelt pieces, but we thought this is at long last we should actually start showcasing dogs for one of the things they're best known for, and that's their sense of humor, or at least that they lead us to have a sense of humor, right? So we just spread the word around, and what we were looking for are pieces that just, you know, tickle your funny bone. You know, what is special about your dog or about dogs that you have known that have made you laugh or have brought you a new awareness of what humor is all about? And I think Lori's actually is one of the perfect ones that actually addresses that issue. Don't you think, Lori?
That's very nice of you to say. And I would agree. I think that dogs kind of, they make us view the world with a different kind of perspective, you know, and whether it's, I'm not sure if it's, you know, ethnocentric or xenophobic, but kind of attributing my world, you know, my world values to my dog, I think that you can can kind of glean so much humor out of that, and the way that she approaches things, and how I relate to that as well. So it's it can be pretty funny.
Yeah. And Kathleen, you have dogs, right?
Oh, I've always had dogs.
Okay,
yeah,
well.
I've got a. You know, I identified with one of the essays because my dog is so ill-behaved. I got this really. I love this dog. I just love this dog. He loves me, and he's a sweetheart, and he's got tremendous energy, and he's smart. But he's on the kitchen table, you know, and he's on the dining room table, and he eats every little piece of plastic in the house, and I can't stop it. You know, we went to dog obedience school. We just couldn't cut it.
I hope he's a small dog.
He's a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier.
He's a small dog, so at least the table surfing doesn't, you know, disrupt too much on the table, right? Like if a Rottweiler or another kind of
dog. Yeah, right, that's true.
Yeah, so that's at least the saving grace. But hopefully you've talked to Trish McConnell about these problems, you know, another of your affiliates on NPR.
I should talk to Trish about him.
Yeah, she'd be a good one.
I know. But I still love him, and he's very endearing. You know,
well, that's, you know, the cover dog, as I think you mentioned earlier, is one of our dogs, and Lenny is a rescue border terrier schnauzer mix, and one of the reasons we called him Lenny is after Lenny Bruce, so it's appropriate that he's on the cover of Hall. But he definitely has a mouth on him, right? Because he's a little terrier, and he's a terrier, all
yeah,
right.
Terriers are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, again, you adore them, right?
I know you do. And let's talk a little bit about Maybe. You really wanted Maybe to be the dog of the day at the doggy daycare. Tell us, she gets a report card. You know, tell us the story. Your essay, dog of the day, Lori.
I want her to be dog of the day every day, and every day when I walk into doggy daycare, her name is not on the board, it breaks my heart. But she goes to actually two different doggy daycare centers, and one of them actually, when I pick her up, they've furnished me with a report card about who she played with, who she's flirting with, who her boyfriend is, what she did, and these report cards are hysterical. Last week I got one that said, Maybe is our Marilyn Monroe of daycare.
Ooh.
She's beautiful on the inside and out, and no one knows the depth of her beauty. And if anyone has that, say that about their dog. Yeah, week after week, you begin to believe it. I'm just like, my dog is beautiful. The depths of her beauty are untapped. We don't know. And so she had been going to doggy daycare, and, you know, week after week, I would walk in, and you know, Hunter's name would be on the board, or Massimo's name would be on the board for dog of the day. And Maybe's name was not on the board, even though her report cards are coming back saying that what a wonderful greeter she was, and she was flirting with all the boys and making the playground a really fun place. And week after week, I just kept thinking, what are these dogs doing in order to kind of gain that accolade where my dog is sorely missing out? I mean, are they, like, you know, brokering peace deals between, like, Pakistani and Indian dogs? What's going on here? And so, finally, I did have my chance to actually kind of hijack the title from my own. Maybe I went to go pick her up one day, and the board was empty, and the chalk was right there, and I thought, you know, I've got this opportunity, and my dog deserves this. She owned this title. And then plus, a couple weeks before, Maybe had been asked to be in a video for the Doggy Daycare Center, like a marketing video, in which she was so adorable, and they were blowing bubbles, and she was trying to bite them. It was, I guess you have to be childless in order to really appreciate that kind of dog fun. So, and on the top of her report card, they kept saying, Maybe stole the show with her playtime skills. And so that kept going through my head as I moved closer and closer to the chalkboard, and reaching out for the chalk. And actually, I just thought, that's, you know, that's not fair. She's got to earn this kind of on her own. And eventually, she did get to be dog of the day. And that victory was much sweeter than anything that I could have stolen for her.
I just thought it was wonderful that she was the greeter, too. What an honor to be the greeter, isn't it?
I think it's just because she's one of the more saucy dogs. You know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, it's just a wonderful story. It's so well written. It's just good. What about this? Some of these are just real interesting ideas to entertain. I can't remember who wrote the piece. but the piece, Claudia, about the what would happen if dogs had a cocktail party.
Oh, no, isn't that great?
The
dinner party. And what's so funny about that piece, besides the piece itself being so funny, is that was one of the original pieces we published in our magazine.
Oh, really?
A long time ago. And it was written by two women who teach at Johns Hopkins University. I mean, they're PhDs, right? You know, there's these wonderful women who are just dog crazy, right? And I thought that was, from when I first saw it, so inventive. And, yeah, it's just wonderful. Like, again, you know, if you're at a dinner party, how would it be if everyone, you know, you were people behind the dogs, and, you know, you do things like, you know, everyone's standing around going, who's there, who's there, who's there? And the next person, next guest that comes in the room, everyone's still yelling, who's there, who's there, who's there? You know, it's just, I just think it's hilarious, and it's so inventive, just marvelous.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderfully inventive. What about dog parks? This is something that I can't remember when I was a kid having dog parks. Let's talk about dog parks and their value and how people feel very close to the owners of the dogs, but people only know the names of the dogs.
Yeah,
they don't know each
funny?
Other.
And, in fact, I hate to bring up Bark Magazine again, but Bark had its start actually in starting a dog park. That's how Bark actually was invented, because we were advocating for off-leash recreation. We don't call them dog parks out in Berkeley. It has to be more highfalutin. So it's off-leash recreation.
Oh,
we were
please.
Advocating for off-leash recreation at this park in Berkeley. And so we started a newsletter to help us, you know, reach out to other dog people. But dog parks are the most amazing phenomenon. They started about maybe, you know, everyone likes to claim as theirs is the first, but the first one probably was about 20 years ago. But the whole rush of dog parks happened more in between the last 10 years. And it's just, first of all, you know, this is my advocacy hat going on, but they're necessary for dogs because dogs need socialization.
Right, sure.
It's like Lori's maybe going to the daycare center. Dogs need to be with their own kind, you know, and let their hair down and play with other dogs. And then, obviously, one of the ancillary wonders of it is how we get to know other people through our dog.
Right.
You know, that's what dogs are, wonderful bridges, you know. And when one of the things that people always ask us, what's the difference between cats and dogs? And one of the things is, and, you know, we have many cats ourselves, but cats really don't introduce you to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and dogs do. You're out there and about. And, yeah, you normally don't know the name of anybody else, nor their profession or anything about them. You just know their dog.
Yeah. How did both of you, and let's start with you, Lori, I think that it's safe to say that all three of us are dog crazy people, that we love dogs. And I'm wondering, how did you become that way, Lori? Because people are or they aren't somehow. And I've never been able to figure it out.
Well, I you know, I guess it's just kind of, maybe it's how you were raised. I was always raised with, we always had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't probably until I got my last dog, which was maybe that she's so full of personality. And she really interacts with us. And she's become, there's my husband, myself, and there's Maybe, and that is, you know, our family. And she is equally as much of a member and a participating member of our household as either one of us are, you know. So she has her very distinctive own personality, and she is hilarious, and she's so funny. And she just does things that crack us up all the time. And that, I think, just, you know, ever since she was a puppy, she endeared herself to us so much that she just opened up a new door, you know. And I wanted to give her the best kind of the best life and the best opportunity a dog could have.
Good for you. How about you, Claudia?
Well, I think it started way back when in Buffalo, right? But I was born in the year of the dog, way back when. But I've always loved dogs. I was one of the little kids in the neighborhood who would, you know, go around collecting all the stray dogs. And back then, all dogs were basically stray because they didn't have leashes. They didn't have the rules that they had to stay in the yard. So I would always bring a dog home. And, you know, I've had dogs most of all my life, but when we first got Nellie, the dog that started the whole dog park and the Bark Magazine, et cetera, she totally changed our lives, you know. And again, it's it's not just because of her personality, and she had a very winning personality, and she definitely was a greeter. She recently died, actually, in July.
Oh.
So there might be a little tears coming on as I talk about Nellie, but, you know, she just revolutionized our lives and was able to open doors. I mean, one of the things about dogs and sharing your life with dogs and with cats is that they're different species, and I love the fact that they're a different species. They are, and we always obviously think of them as part of our family, but we're also part of their family. We're part of the dog family, and that exchange of cultural information between our two species is something that, to me, is very exciting and very warming to my life.
And one of the more warming essays is, I can't remember the name of it right now, but as we talk about being dog crazy and dog people, there is an essay from a young person who's doing some dog sitting, and he just goes overboard for this dog. He never thinks of himself as a dog person, but he becomes one.
Right. I think that's what happens with people, you know, and many people who are, you know, oh, wow, what are these crazy dog people? What do they have? How can it possibly be that you're so attracted to a dog? But you put most people in a room with a dog, and all of a sudden the magic happens. You know, it's sometimes it's a very quiet conversion, and sometimes it's a very loud conversion. But whatever it is, I think again, this is the thing that I love writing about in the magazine, and love having people look at the exploration of dogs as co-evolvers with us, that our two species co-evolve together. And so all of a sudden the magic works. You know, you go, yes, this is where I came from. I came from, you know, 10,000 years ago, and the dog was in my life. And I just think that I applaud that. I love that. And we all feel that, too. You know, once you have that bond with maybe Lori, you know, you just know this dog is so special to you that it's almost hard to define that specialness.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And I realized how absolutely crazy we were about our dog when we found ourselves taking maybe to a dog birthday party and standing in a circle with 10 other 40-something childless people.
Oh, yeah.
Clapping and singing happy birthday to Bocce, a 2-pound, like, terrier mix, who's sitting in the middle wearing a pink feather boa.
Oh.
And I thought, boy, I haven't really lived until this part. And it was at that point that I realized, you know what, I don't think that cake is for us. We're not getting that. That's for them.
I understand that fully. And so many people would think, what a goofy, stupid thing. And you said that, you talked about that, and I wish I'd been there. You know, it's my kind of party.
You see, just as we're chatting, just in talking about dogs, it's always like laughter in your voice,
right,
you know?
Right.
And again, it's just something that we all need so badly, and that dogs are able to provide to us in such a loving way, you know. Again, as the editor of The Bark, one of the things that, you know, I will always cherish is all the stories that people send us. You know, we get unsolicited submissions often. We have thousands of them. But I just love reading these because people's stories about their dogs are just so marvelous. And they say so much about the human as well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just you know, and I obviously urge your listeners to send their submissions to The Bark. We would love to hear from them.
Oh, well, we'll tell them about that. And are you doing something now, or have you already done it on smiling dogs?
Well, we do the smiling dogs. We have, I love this, because the idea came to us from a reader who submitted a photograph of a Chihuahua mix, and she said, tell me this dog isn't smiling. And I said, yeah, the dog is smiling, and we'll publish it in the magazine. But we threw this open, it was about 3 years ago, I think, we threw this open as an ongoing contest that people send us their smiling dogs, and we get thousands of smiling dogs. And with every issue, we do a 2-page spread. There's about 40 dogs, and they truly are smiling. And one of the wonderful things about these photographs is, you know that the dog is looking up at the person taking the photograph, and most likely it's the human companion of the dog taking the photograph. And so you, not only is the dog smiling, but looking so earnest and so full of, oh, I want to please you so much,
aww,
I'll smile for you, that it's just so sweet. But yeah, we have an ongoing one of those. And then the other thing we have done, and starting in January, you will see the results of this. We had a cover dog contest this year.
Oh,
that
yeah.
We were looking for a cover dog for the January issue is going to be our 10th anniversary. So we're going to put the cover dog that we select on the cover of the January issue. But your listeners will be the first to hear this, that we've gotten so many that I just, it's almost impossible for me to say no to any dogs, that the whole year we're going to have cover dogs from people. It's not just that one issue.
Aww.
Because, oh my gosh. I mean, actually this morning at 6 o'clock, that's one of the things I do. I wake up in the morning, I have my pile of envelopes that, for the cover dogs, that I'm looking through all the cover dogs and reading little essays that people write about Aww. Their dogs. And what a way to start a day. Aren't
really?
I a lucky person?
Yeah. Let's welcome phone calls. We'll take them in just a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. For those of you who love dogs and love animals particularly, we're talking with the editor of Howl, a collection of the best contemporary dog wit. And was also talking with one of the contributors to this very funny book, which features about 70 rollicking pieces, personal essays, parodies, satires, highlighting the hilarity of dogs and the people who own them. And Claudia is also one of the founders, and she said they're celebrating their 10th anniversary this year of Bark, the voice of modern dog culture, which has been distributed quarterly in bookstores, newsstands, airports, pet stores, and other pet-friendly establishments, and has been called the New Yorker of dog magazines. All right, here's our number. Join us. You got a funny dog story? We'd love to hear from you. 800-486-8655. If you are in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. And you can also send us an email if you'd like. That email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls, and starting with Heather from Onalaska. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a kind of a funny dog story. My dog, her name was Breezy, and she died in 98. But she thought she was a cat, and she ate cat food. She wouldn't eat her dog food, and she would actually chase the cats and give them baths.
Oh.
Like she would hold them down and,
oh my
and
gosh.
Give them baths. And my cats would do the same things with the rabbits, which was very odd. But she would always follow me to school, too. Huh. But my mother-in-law is a dog lover, and I'm really looking forward to getting her this book now for Christmas. We weren't sure what we were going to get her.
Oh, and, thanks, Heather.
Yeah, this sounds perfect. And Lori, it's just amazing. I couldn't believe it when I was listening to the radio, and she said, and we have Lori Nataro because I really love your books.
Oh, great.
You know, I have them all, and I think they're just hysterical. And my husband and I about died of laughter when we read your story about the Sims game that you brought home.
Oh, and yeah, and a couple books ago. Yeah. Good,
so
thank
I'm really
you.
Looking forward to reading this book also so I can read your essay in it. So
it's a fabulous book. I think you'll love it.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm sure my mother-in-law is going to absolutely love it because she just loves dogs.
Well,
she's a really funny lady.
You chose the right day to listen to this, right?
I listen to it every morning. I'm a stay-at-home mom with my son, and so we listen to public radio all day.
Oh, great. Good.
So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks,
yeah, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy from Madison, hi.
Hi, I'm just calling. I'm a guide dog user. I'm visually impaired, and I've been fortunate to be partnered with Elizabeth, a little yellow lab girl. And first, I'd just like to say thank you for this cool program, and thank you to everyone who contributes to Service Dog or mm-hmm. Guide Dog, whether you're a puppy raiser or a donator to organizations, because she has made such a difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to chime in today because it's so interesting. Everywhere we go, everybody knows Elizabeth.
Oh.
Hello, Elizabeth. You know, and it's so cute because they don't really know me or my partner, Jim, but it's like we walk into the health club and everyone's glad to see Elizabeth.
Oh, yes.
It's pretty cool. But anyway, just wanted to say thanks and great program.
great. Can I add something about that? In our November issue of the Bark magazine, on the cover, we actually have three puppies from Bonnie Bergen's Assistant Dog Institute, and they're just wonderful. And so we have an article about, again, about assistance dogs and guide dogs. Very, very important for people to know about and to get involved in, like as you said, as puppy raisers, et cetera. So thanks very much for the call.
Aren't they incredible what these dogs can do? It just makes me cry.
I know. I mean, we owe them so much.
Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah.
We sure do. Gail from Deer Park. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I had a mixed breed dog that was terrier, so I relate to the terrier part. She was white and had hair that poked up all over the place, so she was obviously a mixed breed. And I was real active with the Milwaukee Dog Training Club at the time, and they wanted to promote the idea that they also trained mixed breeds, that it wasn't just all purebreds that went
good
to obedience training.
Right.
And so we signed up, and she double passed every class. They were double promoting her. She was a really smart dog. And they invited me to come to the sports show because they were going to have a dog presentation, and she was so obviously a mutt that they wanted me to show how well she was doing. So we're up on a stage sort of like a boxing ring where we're featured, and there's a million people standing around, and we're going through over the jumps and retrieve and sit and hand commands and so forth. Well, I'm trying to make her do the broad jump, and for some reason she decided not to do it. So I'm running alongside her, and I go, over, and she didn't do it. Tried it again. Misty, heel, over, didn't do it. So I stood and looked at her, and she fell on her back and threw her legs to the side and just looked at me, and everybody gave me a standing ovation. She'd done really good before that. That just showed she was just a dog.
You can only get so many A's, right? Then you got to get a B.
It's so funny, Gail, as you were telling that story in your very wonderful way of saying over, I can just see some dogs who are listening in actually doing that because it was very compelling. Go, oh, yes, over. Oh, yes. I love the voice that we use when we talk to our dogs. If, in fact, it's like what you were doing with giving her commands like over, you don't say over, right? This wonderful way of talking with them, but I can just see that happening.
Yeah. What about this? You know, I must say that I felt a little twinge of envy here when she talked about her dog double passing all of the classes. I can't imagine having a dog who will double pass any kind of obedience training. What were your thoughts when she was talking about that, Lori?
Oh, when we took maybe four obedience class, yeah, and double passing just simply wasn't an option. Basically, it was just surviving the class that was our main objective, and
right,
hoping
right.
As she was a puppy that she wouldn't tinkle it during some part of the duration of the class. If
right.
we would get out of there tinkle free, I was more than delighted.
Well, yeah. I do have a story beyond that because I thought I was the world's greatest dog trainer.
Yeah.
It was my first dog.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I just really was the smart one. And then, of course, Misty passed on, and I got different dogs. That's 20 years ago. So, meanwhile, I just want to let you know, it was Misty. It wasn't me.
Oh.
My subsequent attempts were, like you said, let's make it through the... We had one tell me in the middle of the obedience thing, saying, I don't think she's interested in this. Well, thank you for the show, and I'm going to get the book for some Christmas presents. I know some dog people that'll love it.
Thanks, Gail. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for your self-deprecating humor. Always appreciated, too. What about this? Because I've always been a believer, and it has worked out for me, but what about this, it's a funny essay, to pooch or not to pooch,
oh,
T-W-O pooch.
Yeah, isn't that great? That is one of the, John Bowen wrote that, and it's one of those things like, you know, you have a dog, and then you leave your dog home alone for 3-4 hours, and I can't, I mean, I would love to hear from a dog lover who says they're not feeling guilty when they do that.
Right.
So you think, okay, we'll get a second dog.
Right,
and
of course.
That'll help the dog out, right?
Right.
And he sort of debunks this in a very, very funny manner. But it's one of his myths that I thought was the funniest is the fact that you put two dogs alone in the backyard, and obviously they're going to play together and have a rollicking good time. But there they are. They're sitting looking at you. because at the heart of it, you know, it's that dogs obviously like playing with other dogs, but they like playing with humans.
Right.
And so they're always asking us for, well, let's participate in this. And I go, oh, that's, you know, when Gail called in about her story, it was, again, it's one of those things of these wonderful dogs who go through all this training. They do their agility. They do all the sports. They're therapy dogs. And then there's everyone else, right?
Right, right.
And that's most of our dogs. It's like, wouldn't it be great if we could have dogs that did that? Or the two-dog, you know, issue is having two dogs or three dogs easier. I just know the more dogs, the merrier, but it ain't any easier, that's for sure.
Yeah. We do need, I can't remember who said this in one of the essays. Why is it we don't see our dogs do their tricks for each other? Maybe they need to, huh?
Yeah.
They'd have more fun.
Yeah, they certainly would. That was actually one of those like little one-liners that are sprinkled throughout the books, and I thought that was so dear because, you don't see them doing their tricks for each other. But I do know that I have a new dog in our lives.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, she's a rescue dog, but she was 10 months old when we got her. Now she's veering towards a year old. But I used our old Lenny, the cover dog. You know, he does simple little tricks. He's certainly not the agility or the obedience one, but, you know, he waves, you know, high fives and things. So I do my little routine with him, and she's watching. And all of a sudden I see her paw go really high up,
really?
And start to wave. So I didn't teach her that. She watched him doing it, and she learned.
Oh.
I thought, bless her.
Yeah. What's her name?
Her name is Lola.
Oh, that's a good
Lola.
Name.
And
Lola.
And she's a hunting breed dog, the first that I've ever had, a sporting breed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the ones that are constantly on alert for looking at any sort of flying objects that go by their faces. Pretty amazing dog, but she's really fun to have. But it's definitely a different experience than all our other dogs.
And how did you find her? And let me ask you the same question, Laura. Did she find you somehow?
Well, I found her on Pet Finder. After Nellie died, I just went into this, like many dog people do, into a berserk mode of I need another. Even though we have Lenny, he's a very old dog. I needed that dog energy in my life. And so I started looking at Pet Finder every day going, this is the dog, this is the dog. You know, yeah, thousands of dogs on Pet Finder need homes, right? And all of a sudden I saw this head of this dog whose name was not Lola back then, but I went, oh, my gosh, because she looks like Lucille Ball. She's got this big red head, and she's got a blonde nose and wonderful amber eyes.
Aww.
And I went, now that dog has a sense of humor, right? To look that way, she has to. So that's how I found her. And I had to drive 3 miles north of here to go meet her because she was up in the country, and I just totally fell in love.
Oh, that's a great description, Lucille Ball. That just sort of brings a smile to your face,
right.
Doesn't it? Lori, how about you? How'd you find Maybe?
We found Maybe. We had just moved to Eugene, Oregon from Phoenix. We were living in an apartment when we suddenly lost our dog Bella to she had hypolytic anemia, and that it was we lost her very quickly within the course of a day.
Mm.
And being that we were in an apartment, she was only five, we couldn't have another dog. And I went through this crazy withdrawal of not only missing her, but I, like I said, I'd always had dogs. And I found myself taking a walk in the park, and I found that I was stalking dogs and asking people, can I pet your dog, and following different dogs. And I thought, this is just insane. And so I had to wait until we actually moved into a house. And the first week that we moved into our own house, I was checking our county website daily and finally I found this little dog on the website of Lane County Animal Regulation, and I thought that's her. I know that is my dog. And so I ran down there, and they were holding her. She was the last puppy in a litter. And she was the cutest. I don't know what she was doing being in the last, but she was the last. And I walked in and I said, "That is my dog."
Aww.
And that was May. And we, you know, we brought her home, and she is, you know, like she's our little joy. So
yeah,
we're very lucky.
Yeah.
Well, she was definitely waiting for you, Lori. That's what she was probably hiding in the back going, "I wanted to have Lori come and get me." So it was one of those things that's meant to be.
Yeah. Yes, there's a future waiting for me with many treats and dog sweaters.
Right? And I'll be in the book, right?
Let's go to Jean from Sparta. Hi, Jean.
Oh, hi. I'm just calling and talking about my crazy dog, Norton, and how smart he is. And he has to go wherever we go. And it's unfortunately, he's learned to spell words like ride and store and this sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
We have the same problem.
Isn't that funny? Well, when you were the introduction of your show, when you were mentioning how what do words or magazine have to do with a dog? Well, it forces one to speak more eloquently and whatnot. Like going to the store is Shelby expedited an excursion to the merchandise center. And so it's like, or going for a walk, let's venture and explore the unknown.
Oh,
so we have our own little languages that he can't spell and whatnot. And, you know, we don't train him. And it's, as you said earlier, how much a dog is part of our lives that we take for granted and how much they know, like how the dog you mentioned learned to wave and you didn't teach him.
Right.
And so, yep, they're precious creatures. And thanks for my little story.
Thanks, Jean.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call.
This like reminds me when I was a little girl and my parents are originally from Poland. They would speak in Polish so we wouldn't understand, right?
Yeah.
We didn't understand, but the same sort of thing.
You know? Right. We need to pause for just a moment. We'll return. We're talking with the editor of Howl, a collection of the best contemporary dog wit. Claudia Kaczynska is also the editor of Bark magazine, which is published four times a year and is considered the New Yorker of dog magazines. It is entering its 10th year this year, and this particular book is a collection of some 70 pieces, personal essays, satires, highlighting the hilarity of dogs. Lori Nataro is also with us, and she has a wonderful piece in the book about her dog, Maybe. She's also the author of six books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Idiot Girls, Action Adventure Club, Autobiography of a Fat Bride, I Love Everybody and Other Atrocious Lies, and she has almost finished with her new book, The Idiot Girl and the Flaming Tantrum of Death, which will be published next summer. She's joining us by phone from Oregon. And Claudia is joining us by phone from Berkeley. So more phone calls in a moment, or if you'd like to send an email, the phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go back to phone calls now and to Rose from Chatfield, Minnesota. Hi, Rose.
Hark to the Irish lark. I have two hilarious stories about dogs. I have two daughters. My younger daughter, when she was four, she wanted to grow up to be a dog. and we were fairly new in this neighborhood, and so we'd walk around, and she would meet these dogs. And so she wanted to invite these four dogs to her birthday party.
Aww.
And so I really didn't know the people that well, so here I am at the door knocking, and I'm going, "Hello, this is, you know, my name is. My daughter would like to have, you know, your dog come to her birthday party." And I remember the looks, you know, on these people that didn't really know me. I mean, a little bit, but not much. And this woman, she said, "Well, I'll have to ask my husband." And I said, "Okay." And so, I mean, so these four dogs, you know, the parents dropped off their four-year-olds, and then, you know, the people came and brought their dogs to the house.
Oh.
It was hilarious.
Oh.
I can still remember these dogs. It was just hilarious.
Oh.
And my daughter, Beth, she went to Madison because of the business school, but she ended up in wildlife management. And so, I mean, she, and then in this small town that I grew up in, my mother's uncle and aunt ran this theater. And so we would go to the movies every Sunday, and my cousins were a little wild, and we kind of liked that. And we shared a dog, Ace. And, you know, we just kind of threw food at it, and it came to the ice skating rink and to school and everything, and there wasn't special food. And so it was a beautiful theater, upholstered, you know, furniture and everything. And then my cousins would sneak Ace in through the bathroom. And we'd put him into a chair. And then during the Westerns, Ace would bark. And then my aunt would come tottering down, and she'd say, "No dogs allowed in the theater." And so we'd say, "Okay, Aunt Margaret." So then the next Sunday, we'd put a baseball cap on him, sneak him back into the bathroom window. "No dogs in the theater." And we'd say, "Well, no, this is not a dog. This is a baseball player." But, you know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things. But anyway, so that's
great
all.
Stories. Thank you, Rose. Those are great, aren't they? Yeah, those are great stories. She had to write those up.
Yeah, I love the story of the little girl with wanting to have a birthday party with the dog.
Right.
That's marvelous.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rose, write it up. Send it to me. Claudia@thebark.com.
Yeah, yeah, do that. Do that, Rose. Those are wonderful. Paul from Duluth. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I'm in total agreement with everything I've heard this hour, and thank you so much for doing the program. I was diagnosed with major depression in 1993, and after numerous drugs and all that, I was becoming introverted, and my psychiatrist finally threw up his hands and he says, "Paul, if I could prescribe a dog for you, I would." And I thought about it. I had to quit working, and I had always wanted a dog. So I thought about it for a few months, whether I thought I could handle the responsibility. And finally, I went to the shelter, and I found the most gorgeous cinnamon chow mix named Cassie. She'll be 15 in February. And she has an affection for reptiles. I was living in Denver at the time, and before I decided I was going to move here to Duluth, I thought I'm going to take one last grand tour. And one of my favorite spots is Dinosaur National Monument. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's wonderful. And I let her off leash. We're just hiking on this high chaparral with sagebrush all around, and she brought me a rattlesnake. She had grabbed it at just the right spot. Behind the neck, or behind the head, and the snake had wrapped itself around her neck. And she brought it to me with this look on her face like, "What's this, Dad?" I knew how to unwrap it. I knew where to grab it by the head. And the tricky part was I knew I was going to unwrap it and you know, throw it back into the brush, because she didn't hurt it. She had a very gentle grab. But the issue was, you know, I had to unwrap the snake and then hold on to her so she wouldn't go after it. I managed to do that. And then one other time, when I was on my way here, we camped for a night in southern Minnesota, and she brought me a painted turtle. And it was like, "Dad, what's this?" And this turtle is hissing away. Anyway, she's been the joy and the love of my life, and a lot of days she's the one who makes me get out of bed.
Get out of bed. Yes, sir.
I take care of that baby, like I say, she'll be 15 in February.
Yeah.
Oh, bless her. And you, too.
Yeah, great story.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call. Sue is next from Beloit. Hi, Sue.
Hi. The previous caller's comments were very similar to my own, in that my husband and I have done rescue, old geriatric rescue for, the last maybe 15, 20 years, and we finally lost a 19-year-old miniature poodle. Well, we'd only had him for 3 years, but it was still very difficult, and we decided to do something different, and we purchased a puppy, a standard poodle puppy, and I have had him now for 5 weeks, and I am totally engrossed and immersed in this puppy. He's in puppy classes. I'm constantly interacting with him, and I've had a lot, you know, kind of a lifelong struggle with anxiety. I have some autoimmune problems, so I'm often struggling to be kind of happy and upbeat. And one of my neighbors said to me the other day, she said, "You are happier than I have ever seen you." She said, "I think it's the puppy." And I thought about it, and I thought, yes, you know, it was wonderful doing, and we still have one geriatric chihuahua, and it is wonderful doing the geriatrics, but for some reason, this puppy has just sparked us both up. We're just constantly interacting with him and enjoying him. I do feel, one other comment I'll make is that I got involved a little bit with a group of people who have, you know, breeders and showing dogs and stuff. And they kind of made me feel bad about my puppy because they were talking about genetic testing and was this done and that done. And I finally said to them, you know, I've done geriatrics for geriatric rescue for, you know, 20 years. All I wanted was a continent dog.
Yeah,
I didn't care about anything but
right.
Go outside to go to the bathroom.
Right,
because
right.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Thank you so much for your call.
And Sue, I must really thank you for doing what you have done for 20 years. It's amazing. Geriatric rescue must be so, so difficult. You reach out and you give love to a dog and, mm-hmm. and care for them, and you don't have many more years left. That's why it's great you have a puppy now. I think that's perfect for you.
Yeah. It really does. I'm always telling people, my family thinks I'm obnoxious about it, but I do. I tell people all the time, including John Treader, our producer, our wonderful producer, John, you got to get a dog.
Yeah.
And he's worked with the Humane Society to take care of dogs that are sick. But it does make a huge difference. You know, my dad, who, God bless him, just died recently, and he had lived alone for so long, and I just wish I had given him a dog, you know, just fenced in the backyard, and Dad, here's the dog. And
right.
It would have made a huge difference in his life in the last few years. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It makes a big difference. And when you mentioned, like, your father's situation, I know that there are some organizations, nonprofit organizations, that these days that actually encourage the seniors to get dogs, and then they will come and help them with the dog. And they'll bring food if the dog needs a walk, as the senior perhaps that day can't do it. I'm going, oh my gosh, isn't this marvelous?
What a great program.
Isn't that great? Yeah, that's the PAWS organization out of San Francisco is starting to do that, but I bet there's others like that. But to have an outreach program like that for seniors specifically, because again, like the gentleman said before, that one of the things that dogs do for us is they make us get out of bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
A reason to get out of bed. You know, they're not going to let you lay around. They need to obviously do what they need to do, and most of the time we're the ones that allow them to do that, right?
Right. Well,
with our walks or opening out the back door or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, it's marvelous.
Yeah.
Baby will often, I just to interject really quickly.
Yeah, surely.
She will often wake me up in the morning by licking my eyes.
Oh!
Which is, she does it very softly, but that's her way of saying, open them, I need to get going. So.
Let's go to Warren from Madison. Hi, Warren.
Yes, good morning. Everybody loves dogs, and I've got something I'd like to share with everybody is an artist, a friend of mine who paints dogs, and he paints dog pictures and portraits. His name is Max Miller, and he's a world-renowned artist. And everybody should just look up his artwork, because if you look at his pictures, you can just see in the eyes of the dogs just something amazing that words cannot describe. And there's so much art that Max Miller's art is just outstanding dog art.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Do you have portraits of your dogs, Claudia?
Oh, Lori? Yeah, of course we do. Of course.
Of course.
Oh, many portraits of our dogs. No, but we're also fortunate because, like what I was telling you about the cover dog contest, part of the cover dog contest is Amanda Jones, who's a fabulous, fabulous photographer. She's out of Massachusetts, but she goes around the country and takes photographs of dogs, you know, on commission. And for the cover dog, we're going to fly her out to whoever it is to take the pictures. But she's taken wonderful photos of our dogs. We have only one of our dogs so far, actually, two of our dogs, done by a painter. And that's because of the cover dog of Howl. We have original artwork for that. And the preceding book, The Dog is My Co-Pilot, we have Nellie on the cover. So we're very fortunate.
Yeah. An email that came in, we do books, this is long program, long-standing program on Wisconsin Public Radio from 12:30 until 1. It's called Chapter a Day, and these marvelous readers from our station do readings. The email from Jessica from Gays Mills: my two favorite stories on WPR's Chapter a Day have been Marley and Me and Merle's Door. Stories made me laugh and cry, laugh way more than cry. I couldn't miss one chapter, glued to these stories more than any others I've heard. Well, my 3- and 8-year-old black labs are the loves of my life.
Oh, that's marvelous. Carasotti's book, the Merle book, just came out about 3-4 months ago. That's a marvelous book. I highly recommend it.
What's the name of it?
It's called Merle, M-E-R-L-E.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it has the name, Ted Carasotti wrote it.
I didn't know the author. Carasotti.
Yeah, Carasotti, okay. K-E-R-A-S-O-T-E.
Okay, I'll have to read that as well. Well, darn, I wish that we were in the same city and we could go to the off-leash recreation area right now. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, it certainly would be. You know, that's what I have to do right now with Lola. You know, we're reaching 9 o'clock our time here, and she has to have her long run of the day, and that's where we're headed off to.
Oh, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much. What a wonderful hour. Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing so much with us.
Yeah, thanks, Claudia.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori.
You.
Thank you. Lori Nataro's, her essay is one of those featured in Howl. The book, again, is Howl, a collection of the best contemporary dog wit. It has just been published by Crown. And also, you can go to Bark Magazine to enter the cover story and to read some of their lovely stories about dogs. It's the New Yorker of dog magazines. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Thanks to John Treader, and thanks also to Rhonda Fanning for producing the show.